some verses from the Song of Solomon. I am only a wild flower in Sharon, a lily in a mountain valley.
Like a lily among thorns is my darling among women.
Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my dearest compared to other men. I love to sit in its shadow, and its fruit is sweet to my taste. He brought me to his banquet hall and raised the banner of love over me. Restore my strength with raisins and refresh me with apples. I am weak from passion. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand caresses me. Promise me, women of Jerusalem, swear by the swift deer and the gazelles that you will not interrupt our love. I hear my lover's voice. He comes running over the mountains, racing across the hills to me. My lover is like a gazelle, like a young stag. There he stands beside the wall. He looks in through the window and glances through the lattice. My lover speaks to me.
Come then, my love, my darling, come with me. The winter is over, the rains have stopped. In the countryside, the flowers are in bloom. This is the time for singing. The song of doves is heard in the fields. Figs are beginning to ripen. The air is fragrant with blossoming vines. Come then, my love, my darling, come with me. And our New Testament reading is from the first letter of John. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Denise. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. We will hear a lot about love, in the next few days as we approach Valentine's Day. There will be overpriced red roses in the shops, cards with soppy rhymes, you know the kind of thing. Carrots are orange, tomatoes are red, I quite like you but prefer green grocery instead, that kind of thing. Songs, love me do, love is a many splendid thing, all you need is love. Because Valentine's Day is mostly about love between feelings of love between two people. And it is ironic in a way that Valentine, whoever he actually was, and lots of legends gather around the figure of Valentine in his period in the Roman Empire, it is ironic that he has got his name attached to this somewhat cheesy, commercialized festival of romance in the Western world. Though the attachment probably didn't happen until much later in Geoffrey Chaucer's time in the Middle Ages. Ironic, because as the storytelling pointed out, Valentine is primarily known for his brave act of love towards the daughter of an old man who turned out to be his jailer. An act of love that was pretty much the last thing he ever did before being executed. Not really romantic love at all. The connection with Valentine's Day seems to be because he left the girl a note with a flower, as we have heard, from your Valentine. Which has turned into the practice today of giving someone you rather fancy an anonymous card. In these sensitive post-Me Too days, don't you think, from your Valentine, you know, I'll be watching you. Sounds a bit dodgy, really. Another one of the legends attached to Valentine is that as a priest, he often went against the orders of the emperor. Maybe that was why he was arrested. Who had banned young men from getting married because he needed lots of young men to join the army. And if they were married, they were likely to be distracted. Valentine, the priest, it seems, went ahead and married lots of young men and women, all of which led to the same end. In days when it was a big risk to be a Christian, Valentine was arrested. By some accounts, he was tortured and then put to death. Not love, exactly. Love, though. Not the strong feeling, but the action. The deliberate, counterintuitive, disinterested decision to love someone, knowing full well that to do so will involve great risk to yourself. It's at the heart of our faith. If someone should ask you, if you find yourself asking, what must I do to be saved? Before you get to all the religious stuff about Christ's cross and resurrection and all that stuff, remind yourself, remind them of what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love. Not the fuzzy Valentine's Day feeling at all, but the selfless, unlooked-for action. John got it about smack on when he wrote in his letter, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Whoever claims to love God and yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Valentine's story shows what was happening in the early centuries of the Christian faith as people took those words seriously. In fact, you could say that the letters of John open a window on the world in which people like Valentine moved. The communities of the early church. Maybe they were familiar with the teachings of one or other of the apostles, Paul, James, or John himself. And in the Roman Empire, as the years went by, as they faced increasing persecution, by Valentine's time in Italy, Christians all over were being persecuted for their faith. The books in which the Roman Catholic Church keep a record of early saints, such as Valentine, are called martyrologies, the stories of martyrs. Hundreds of Christians back then, like Valentine, gave their lives for their faith. They believed so firmly in the truth of Christianity that they were willing to lay down their lives. And in the 3rd century, as the Roman Empire began to face turmoil within and without, a restless population, the growing threat from outside forces such as Persia, shortages of food, all manner of economic upheaval, emperors set out to take back control, to impose a centralized religious and political system, to stamp out every sect, cult, and belief system that might be a seat of rebellion or insurrection. And somewhere in all this ferment, people like Valentine lived by faith. We don't have to face persecution for our faith. Though lots of Christians, and indeed other religious believers, do in many parts of the world. And in many parts of our world, you can see similar forces at work. When things go wrong, when uncertainty beckons, when livelihoods are threatened, when order begins to break down, it is always the same. Some group or other gets the blame. Gypsies, Jews, asylum seekers here and in Europe, immigrants in the United States, Muslims in Myanmar and China, Christians in China. And soon enough, martyrs. Persecuted believers who lose their lives for their beliefs, like Valentine. But the word martyr, before it ever meant what it so often means, someone who gives their life for their belief, before then it meant witness, someone who testifies, someone who witnesses. John, the very beginning of his letter, the life appeared, the life of the world, and we have witnessed to it. Witnessing to the life of the world. It meant then what it still means now. It means standing up to be counted alongside the one who gave his life, who showed the way to God, who gave freely of himself for us all. Standing up to be counted in a world that runs with fear and suspicion and persecution and hate. Witnessing means one simple thing, what Valentine did, what we all must do who claim to love God. Love. Not to feel romantic love. The Bible's not against it, as the reading from the Song of Solomon will have shown. In fact, I suggest you go home, close the curtains, curl up on the sofa with the Song of Solomon and maybe somebody else, and you will see. It is really quite earthy in the original. But this isn't about romantic love like that. It is about hard, determined, disinterested, counterintuitive love. Love for the unlovely. Love in a cup of coffee. Love in a helping hand. Love in a bed for the night. Love in a meal. Love in a word of welcome. In standing alongside when all the world is against. Love. From your Valentine, from your witness to Christ, from your loving God, because God first loved us and in Christ gave himself for us.